All right, my last guest this week, certainly not least, is Tony DeFault, Managing Director at Pacific Global ETFs. They launched their first three ETFs last year. They've since added a fourth back in January, all focused on income generation in some capacity. And Pacific Global ETFs is under the Pacific Global Asset Management umbrella, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Pacific Life Insurance Company, who I think a lot of people are familiar with. Tony's on the line with me from Newport Beach, California. Tony, it's a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.
You too, Nate. Thanks for having me.
So, Tony, first, I always love hearing the backstory on how and why new ETF issuers entered the market. And as I mentioned, I think most people are familiar with Pacific Life Insurance. So give us some background on the connection between Pacific Life and Pacific Global ETFs and sort of this decision to launch a suite of ETFs.
I would love to do that. Thanks for the question. There's actually a little bit more of the story on how Pacific Global Asset Management came about. And then when we looked through our inventory of needs, we quickly identified ETFs as an investment vehicle we need. But back in late 2017, we looked around and we had a lot of investment capabilities under the roof at Pacific Life. And for a company that founded PIMCO 30 years ago, there's a lot of learnings from that, and you really have to have your investment capabilities outside the roof of the insurance company in a standalone facility with its own leadership. So that's what we did in 2018. We created Pacific Global Asset Management, led by a gent named Kevin Byrne. And under that, we had fixed income team called Pacific Asset Management. They run corporate credit, floating rate loans. They just crossed $13 billion. We have a factor-based equity arm out of Boston called Cadence Capital Management. And we also have an internal private equity team, and they're at about $3 billion. So as we put these folks under one roof, we also looked at the product lines we have available. We had Pacific funds run by our annuities division, so that seemed like a natural fit to get it tied with our investment arm here. And then we also noticed we had some ETFs at different distributors, and honestly, they weren't being managed well and they were mispriced. So we made a decision to get all that under one roof and cleaned up. In particular, we started with a product called USDY. That's a U.S. dividend income product, and we repriced that at 29 basis points. And then our other one we just got that back in December was a floating rate loan product called FLRT. And we reduced that by 50 basis points to get it repriced at 68. So those were the two that got us in the door. Long answer to your question, forgive me.
Well, no, so tell us more about the ETF lineup itself. So you mentioned USDY, that's a U.S. equity income ETF. You mentioned the senior loan ETF, ticker FLRT. You also have a focused high yield ETF, ticker FJNK, which, by the way, that's a finalist for ETF.com's best new international or global fixed income ETF in 2019. So good luck on that. And then you also have an international version of USDY, the international equity income ETF, IDY. What is the overall idea with this lineup?
Yeah, you know, what's the strategy behind what we're doing and why should anyone care is how I like to explain it. When we noticed we had some ETFs that came through the adoption process, we had to have a compelling value statement to advisors, and just saying we showed up is clearly not good enough. But also, how are you going to differentiate? And when we talk to, again, advisors and different focus groups, if we came out with, like, products that didn't represent the heritage of Pacific Life, if we were too thematic or we had a lot of leveraged or options-traded funds, it really wouldn't reflect our core strength. So what is our core strength? And we have a heritage and a DNA back to income. So our goal is to build income-oriented ETFs to help financial advisors. And personally, where that comes from on my side is, as I've spent so much time with that client base, I've seen just an enormous distaste for insurance products. And that hurts me to say that, because they do offer a lot of value. But the complexity and the hassle factor of issuing a contract to a client is really difficult. And if you look at how advisors have shifted to manage money, ETF is where you need to be. So with that mandate in mind, we're going to continue to roll out fixed income and other income-related ETFs actively managed. And that's an important distinction, because we really can't compete in the passive space. I think that war has already been fought, and there's no way we're going to get in there. But fixed income is really difficult to do in a passive way, and more to come on that front.
Well, can you talk more about the active management of these ETFs? And look, I feel like I keep saying the same thing every week on this podcast, but I'm going to do it again. I think the active versus passive debate is tired. I think every decision involved in investing is active. That said, if you look at the track record of active management, especially over the past 10 years, it hasn't really been great. I know fixed income has done better, but you know, overall, the performance hasn't always been there consistently. So what is the case for active management?
I agree with you 100%. What I'm talking about more is on the fixed income side. That's really hard to do and replicate, and especially hard to trade on the ETF side. So you do have to have a level of expertise. And when we looked at can we do that, the answer is we have a long track record since 2007 and a longer track record with our heritage in PIMCO, understanding how fixed income works. And at this point, we haven't seen a lot of folks do a good job offering that in a passive strategy. At some point, that may be the case, but we see, and at least for the foreseeable future, a lot of opportunity and a unique way to differentiate there. On the active side, I'll concede that's a passive game at this point.
Okay, so looking ahead, again, obviously Pacific Life has a big brand name. I think investors know who you are. What do you see as your ETF strategy moving forward, just in terms of potentially more products coming to market?
I think there's two things. You know, having good product at the right price, it's important, but it's still in the commodity realm. There's a lot of other good players out there that can match what we do for sure. But when I study other really successful investment companies, it's their attention to detail with their client-based advisors and helping them with their business. So you have to have product check, but two, how do you help that financial advisor with their business? So in the coming months, you'll see more from us on income engineering and income expertise to help advisors with their practice. That's how we plan to differentiate. We'll have more product that'll match that, but you really have to have that thought leadership differentiator where people trust you and you're offering unbiased advice, and that'll help them with that need.
Well, Tony, really appreciate your time this week. Certainly wish you all the success with the ETF lineup and look forward to connecting again down the road. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Nate. Thank you so much.
That was Tony DeFault, Managing Director, Pacific Global ETFs.